Wednesday, December 21st, was one of those crescendos of a day at the ranch. With 9 governors, 2 cabinet members, a director of the budget, 4 undersecretaries, and a bevy of staff. In the morning, I worked on the mail and the Christmas albums, and then at 11, I began going to the airstrip to meet the governors, who arrived in their several planes. I loaded up some and Lyndon others, Governor Warren Hearns of Missouri, Harold Hughes, a big man, handsome, silent, who looks rather like he has a perpetual chip on his shoulder, affable, attractive Phil Hoff, Governor Rolvog of Minnesota, who will be going out. For some reason, he came in with John Connally, and Governor Hewlett Smith of West Virginia, an amiable, pleasant man, his manner the easiest of nearly any in this rather strained gathering, and a trio of Southerners, Governor Robert McNair of South Carolina, new, I believe, and Mills Godwin of Virginia. He'd ridden on the train with me in 64, and Dan Moore of North Carolina. He, too, I had met during the whistle stop. By 11:30, they were all in the big living room at the ranch. I got coffee in and left them alone, and for an hour worked down at the Cedar House on some decorating problems. At 12:30, I sent some Bloody Marys in to the governors. I do not know the subject of the conference. Budget Director Charles Schultz had been there to brief them, and Secretary Gardner of HEW, with his number one man Wilbur Cohen, and Secretary McNamara, Undersecretary of State Nick Katzenbach, and Deputy Secretary Bill Crockett, and Ramsey Clark, the acting Attorney General. What I gathered in large part was because they wanted to air their differences, their beefs, to Lyndon himself. His manner was compatient, not combative, controlled, full of facts and figures, with the top echelon of the cabinet there to back him up and supply anything the governors wanted to know. But it had been a grinding day, a good step, I felt, though not totally productive, certainly. I called them in to lunch at 1, with John, the ranking governor, it's his home state, and Harold Hughes, the chairman of the governor's conference, flanking Lyndon. And at my table, I had Governor Karl Rolvog and the trio of Southerners, McNair of South Carolina and Mills Godwin of Virginia and Dan Moore of North Carolina, however much we may differ politically. I liked the velvet manners of Southern men, and Hewlett Smith of West Virginia, Ramsey Clark, my most favorite John Gardner, and Bill Crockett. Robert McNair showed me a piece of literature used against him by his opponents in the last election, Savage Against Lyndon, and trying to tie him to the administration. I remember well the patrician savagery of South Carolina. Their main trouble, he said, with the administration, and all the governors from the South agreed, were the guidelines regarding schools. Right after lunch, I had to leave to go into Austin. The governors were meeting with the press. I felt tender toward Lyndon. He tried hard. I thought the meeting was necessary and had accomplished something. Emphatically not all you could wish. I said goodbye and flew in to Austin to meet the architects of the Lyndon Johnson Library, Max and Gordon Bunshaft and Roy, in the Brooks Bar office. We spent about 3 hours poring over plans. They feel, and I concur, that they've got the first floor in much better shape, with a more impressive entrance, the restrooms downstairs, more exhibit space, and lobby space. We talked of the landscaping. Bunshaft tells me he will have a preliminary plan in February. I reminded him of the insurance building I had seen that they had done in Connecticut, whose landscaping I thought was superb, and hoped the same people could be used on this, and that they could learn Texas, have an indoctrination course in the area before they put hand to paper. And then the subject of the main building material. Texas shellstone, a travertine marble from New Mexico, but maybe the quarry wasn't big enough to produce a quantity of equal quality. Several different kinds of granite. They still hope to let the beds out in May. We came to the conclusion that they must not take beds on any material we would not really want to use. And to see what we want, the best real way would be to get large slabs, say 6 feet high and 4 feet wide, and stand them up in the sunlight, if not on site in some similar place, and look at them in light and shadow and all the changes of light. I need to be educated on so many fronts. As an architect, a landscape architect, I deal with so much in which I feel myself constantly striving to master more than I really have in my head. I am still not happy about the lack of windows, the closed-in look, of the library, the long, low building for the Texas School of Public Service, the archives, the Latin American collection, I like very much, and the site remains superb. All the more reason why the landscaping there must too be superb. As for the executive suite, I asked them to send copies of the plan to Marie Famer and Juanita Roberts for fine-tooth combing as to the way Lyndon lives in his office, how he works, and where others must be. Finally, a little before 6, we broke up, and I asked Roy to go with me. We drove around the University of Texas campus looking at shellstone in buildings, and particularly looking at the Memorial Museum, which itself is made of shellstone. And on the southwest side, it's rather monolithic in structure, closest I may get to seeing what the library will look like. It was twilight, and the play of shadow on the building was beautiful. It was strong, impressive. I felt reassured about what the library might be. It certainly has strength, the feel of the southwest. I am not sure it has grace or enough openness. Poor Mr. Bunchaft just dies. Now speak about windows. I helicoptered home from Camp Mabry in the fading twilight, my always favorite time for this country, and got to the house to hear the results of the press conference with the governors. With Hughes as their spokesman, the results sounded like they were mollified, presented a more united front, only to have Hearns of Missouri get off to the side alone and do some mouthing. And the agenda for the rest of the working day had been the budget, with conferences with Secretary Gardner and Ramsey and Lyndon, Dale Crockett and Lyndon.